Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, welcome back. Fourth hour. Man, this day is going by fast.
I have an early grievance.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
When your host gives you a song to play at the top of the hour that doesn't have lyrics with it on Spotify,
and then
as you start playing it, he says into your studio, watch the lyrics on this one. I think it's safe, but I really don't know.
Well, I that's one of my favorite bands. That's the Marvelous Three out of Atlanta, and they're very poppy and very fun, and every once in a while, they will slip one past the goalie, so to speak.
They drop a little naughty.
Right. And so right as that one started up, my confidence level went from a 10 to about a 3. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
I got to be honest, when he said pocket knife, I almost hit the dumb button.
Okay.
All right. We were talking about words last hour, and I'm glad that we're all four here for this. The dumbest debate is going around on Facebook, and I went right on down the rabbit hole because it's something that our grandparents said to us when we were little, maybe our parents. It's so nostalgic, Scott.
Over yonder?
No. The internet wants to know, how many chuggas come before choo-choo?
I have no idea what you're talking
Yes,
about.
You do, Dan.
I have the answer.
No, I've got the answer, and it's weird, because my grandma, when they were feeding you, Scott, they'd go, chugga.
Okay, now I know what you mean.
How many chuggas
I know.
Go before choo-choo?
Dan? I say 3. Chugga, 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 choo-choo.
Sam says 4.
The answer is 4.
What?
Dan says
2.
So you're saying it's chugga chugga choo choo?
Yes.
I'm going with Dan. That's right.
Just you were right
close.
The first time. It's 3.
No, it's not.
She would put the cereal on the spoon and she would go chugga 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 choo choo.
For those that don't have any rhythm with language, they might go 3 or 4. But, you know, it's chugga chugga choo choo. It flows. It's rhythmic.
Not when you're trying to get a kid to eat.
Well, you do that. You do the plane for that.
Now, when that's where I was going. When you're flying the spoon plane, what do you want the kid to open?
That gives you plenty of time.
The hanger.
The hanger. That's right.
Open the hanger.
Open the hanger.
What kind of household did you grow up in? You get 2 chuggas and you're eating.
Well,
chugga, shove it.
We weren't very well off when I was young, so.
Oh, here we go.
You get 2 chuggas. That's it.
Okay. No, I'm telling you, I think it's 3, but what's funny about this is the internet exploded over that stupid question. It's very odd what will capture our attention these days, is it not? Chugga, chugga, chugga.
I'm not surprised anymore.
Choo-choo.
It's 4. You guys
been in the newsroom before the show starts?
Chugga, chugga. No, Sam, 4 is too many. That's going on too long.
We don't have all day here.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune's on at 6:30. Let's go, kid.
If you Google how many, it just pops up. Chuggas come before choo-choo.
Okay. All right.
Listen to this. Most people use either 2 or 4.
The most popular consensus? 8.
8?
No. Yep. No.
No, that train's going to Branson,
chugga,
and we don't have time.
Chugga, 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 choo-choo.
What?
That's too long.
The masses agree on one thing. It's not me saying it.
It's 2, because then all you have to do is go chugga chugga choo choo, and you know what you can do? Do it again.
In terms of the options, it listed 3 options for what the most people say is correct.
Okay. What are the top 3?
2 is the least popular.
Chugga chugga choo
choo. 8 is the most popular. 4 is second.
It's 3!
Nobody has ever done 8 chugga chuggas and counted them.
3's not even on the list.
And then answered a survey.
I came from a highly dysfunctional family then.
Lord Jesus, put me out of my misery. I'm ready to come home.
This is my line in the sand.
This this is the story that you're drawing the line on?
You've broken me.
I mean, if you're going to chugga-chugga, why not chugga-chugga one more time and then choo-choo?
Lord, I'm ready to see mayo.
All right. I'm done. I just thought I'd throw it out for discussion. We've discussed. Go on.
Okay. Hurricane Erin is barreling up the eastern seaboard.
Did see that.
Okay.
She's angry today.
Concerns about the barrier islands of North Carolina, a region, by the way, that 2 million people visit every single year.
They've just issued a beach warning to, quote, avoid East Coast beaches. All of them.
Yeah.
When she hit?
No, she's not going to. She's going to go, Hurricane Erin is going to go literally right up the eastern seaboard.
Sideswipe.
There will be no landfall.
Yeah, Sandy was a sideswipe, wasn't it?
No, Sandy was a direct hit.
Yeah.
But
and
those
it parked,
bands of
and
rain.
And she parked on top of New Jersey.
Those bands of rain can wreak havoc on those Carolina valleys that are still trying to recover from the previous flooding.
This road's underwater already, Sam.
Can someone explain to me, and I knew they existed, but I hadn't seen one in forever. Who builds a house on stilts?
They all do now.
On the outside of a state where it's not unheard of for there to be a hurricane.
Well, that's why they use the stilts.
That's why they use the stilts, Scott. They go way down with concrete and all the things that you have to do.
I totally get it.
And it's not even that homeowners want to do it. It's the insurance companies now.
What I'm saying is maybe we should not build homes on stilts because the one thing they don't have, and I understand why they're on stilts because of the rising tide from the hurricane and all that stuff. The one thing you don't have is a foundation.
And why do you need a home that's 50 feet out into the sand? Because that's what blew my mind when I saw the. I think I saw the exact video that you saw. The nearest road is like 50 feet back.
Because you want to be oceanfront. That's where all the expensive property is.
You're still oceanfront 50 feet back.
Yeah.
With a road.
I had another question, but I won't bring it up.
What is your question?
Why do they draw those maps that way?
Phallically?
No, I'm just saying I've noticed a trend lately.
There's a high pressure zone down here.
And that's
here.
It.
Okay. Is that what we're calling it?
A high pressure zone down here.
All right.
And it's likely going to extend up here.
When did I become the adult on this show? When did that happen?
It's the New York Times. I'm just saying.
Hell hath frozen.
I mean, she's listening to country music and driving out to small towns. You're owning a house and now I don't know what you're doing, but
Erin,
it's 55-year-old man stuff.
It's Erin is a 110-mile-an-hour Category 2 as it tracks north and nearly parallels the U.S. East Coast. By the way, evacuations have been ordered in parts of the Outer Banks.
Why would you live on the Outer Banks?
Because it's where the water is, Scott. You love the water. You of all people should not be asking that question.
But when I retire, I'm hoping to get a vacation home if I do it right. I'm going to keep a house here, an apartment here in town, because I don't think Sarah's going anywhere outside of Kansas City. And I'm going to get a vacation home or apartment in Greenville, South Carolina. And here's why. Because South Carolina has a beautiful beach. You know that's Dan, South Carolina has a beautiful beach. And Greenville is 3 hours away. You know what's not going to destroy my house in Greenville, South Carolina?
Unlikely.
Most likely a hurricane.
You're going to get some rain.
Of course, the rain comes down. And
right, like it did in western North Carolina. But yeah. what I can do
that,
is every Saturday morning, leave the house at about 7. I'm on the beach by 10.
No, you won't be.
Oh,
nope.
Shush.
Traffic's horrible. Mm-mm.
Shush. Lyle and Eric Menendez are getting their long-awaited parole hearing tomorrow.
That was quick.
It was.
Do they decide tomorrow? The hearing is tomorrow, or do they have to go think on it? And if they do, shame on them. This has been in the news for 2 years.
Eric Menendez's parole hearing is set for Thursday. Lyle Menendez's is set for Friday. After the hearings conclude, the parole board will determine whether the brothers are suitable for parole. The brothers' relatives say they know the parole process is rigorous, but they are cautiously optimistic. Quoting here from the family, the Menendez family, for more than 35 years, they have shown sustained growth. They have taken full accountability. They express sincere remorse to our family to this day and have built a meaningful life defined by purpose and service. However, L.A. County D.A. Nathan Hochman, who has fought against their release, calls the brothers' claims of self-defense part of a litany of lies.
Well, now, wait a minute.
He says they continue to pose a risk to society.
It was clearly not, quote, traditional self-defense in the moment that they did it, because mom and dad were seated on the couch.
Correct.
So that is legally accurate, that it was not self-defense.
And they also went out to the car to get more shells.
I believe vehemently, firmly, and completely with every cell of my being that those boys were sexually abused. And so
I think there's evidence to that.
Was it self-defense in that moment? No. But was it defense after years of horrific abuse? I believe it was.
Sam, I've long gotten the impression that you think they should spend the rest of their lives in prison. Am I wrong?
I mean, I've heard enough that suggests that they should.
You need to read their attorney's book. It is...
Well, but that's going to be incredibly biased.
It was a house of horrors.
I don't dispute that.
I can't empathize, but I can understand why they were in the situation that they were in. But when you get down to the brass tacks of the details, they shot their father. They then shot their mother, who was still alive, went out to the car to get more shells, to come back in and put two more in their mom.
Who they allege...
Knew about the abuse.
And didn't do anything about it.
If the new prosecutor is even correct in anything that he says in his 45-minute monologue about how horrible of humans they have been behind bars, why release
them? But bad behavior behind bars does not mean, Sam, they haven't served out their sentence.
Would you want them living next to you?
Yes. I would have absolutely no problem with them moving in right next door.
You would have no problem
with
Kyle or Eric Menendez moving
in
next door.
They're not a threat to society. They took out their abusers. That is completely different.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're not making fun of Prince, are you?
No, not at all. I love this song.
That is illegal. It's not Eddie Vedder.
I just like doing that because I
We have an update here from NBC News. A New Orleans inmate who was mistakenly released last month due to a clerical error has been recaptured in Texas. Khalil Bryan was released on July 25th from the Orleans Parish Justice Center. After a nearly month-long manhunt, he has finally been captured over 300 miles away in Harris County, Texas. I believe that's where Houston is, okay, if I'm not mistaken. He was nabbed with the help of an anonymous Crime Stoppers tip. It is not clear how he made it to Texas. He was apprehended this morning. He was treated for minor injuries. He was serving time for charges, including possession of stolen property, drug paraphernalia, resisting an officer. Blah, blah, blah.
Is it just me, or have there been a lot of escapes this year? Or are we just hearing more about it?
They're not breaking out. They're being let out.
Well, we looked this up yesterday. If the prison system accidentally lets you out.
You have not broken out.
You have not. Theoretically, the law says you have not escaped. What was the word? You are unlawfully...
You are unlawfully at large.
At large. That was the word. You're unlawfully at large, but they can't charge you with escape if they accidentally let you out.
Now, this is not the one guy of the 10 who ran out of the jail that you recall.
Oh, they're never going to find
they
out.
They were let out. They didn't run.
That's right.
Right.
The ninth guy who was caught is actually making that legal argument that he did not break out. He was let out. Derek Groves is the 10th. He remains at large, and no one knows where he is. He was last thought to be in Texas as well.
He was one of the few that was a convicted killer.
That is correct.
The 10 that escaped. By the way, Dana, I think we are falling victim to a big one happens and we focus on it. Yeah, because the 10 escaped. Now we're focusing on escapes. The average per year in the United States. What do you think?
How many people break out of jails?
Yep.
100.
250.
Way higher.
Oh, well, that's terrible.
1,000.
Higher.
Oh, my gosh.
1,500. Tell me it's not higher.
There is an estimated 2,000 prison escapes every single year in the United States.
That's a problem. I thought it was like, you know, well, now a handful.
Wait a minute. Some of this could be people like the kid in Seattle-Tacoma Airport who was being escorted through the airport, and he just took off running.
Okay, that's still an escape.
I understand.
That would be an AWOL.
Or...
which is a majority of them.
Or they're out picking up trash on the highway.
Okay.
They're nearing the end of their prison sentences.
You're saying a smaller percentage of them are like, I got a shank or something, and I slowly whittled away at the...
I'm not thinking this is Alcatraz.
Yeah.
The three guys who escaped from Alcatraz.
That is correct. A strong majority of them were either AWOLs or people who just simply walked out of minimum security. Okay.
Like there was the guy down in Olathe not too long ago who was, he had to show up at the jail every night, remember?
Yep, check in.
And check in, and then he was allowed to leave every day for 12 hours. He kind of had
work release agreement. And he put the release in work release.
That is correct. And one day he went to work and never came back. Until they found him. And now he's probably not on a work release program, would be my guess.
And actually, the number of escapes have gone down over the years.
One would hope.
You've really got to go to Alcatraz.
Oh, I'm telling obsessed. You.
And this idea, and this is not political, and I think I've said this before. We went to San Francisco last month to see T's daughter and her husband.
You said you had a beautiful time.
Oh, my God. We had a wonderful time. And we did spend one afternoon out at Alcatraz. This idea of rehabbing it and turning it into a prison again is laughable.
Billions of dollars.
It is laughable. When you see Alcatraz, they have done nothing since the Native Americans took the island in 1970 and 71. It is
nature has started to take it back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly. The only thing they're doing right now, there is a minor construction project going on the island where they're working on the area where you have to get the boat.
Yeah, the ferry.
The ferry, thank
for
you.
For tourists.
Right. And there's two that run literally round the clock. Just, you know, one's going out, one's coming back.
You know you can stay the night there?
I don't know where you would stay.
There are overnight, like, around Halloween time or something, there are overnight tours. I don't know that I'd want to do that.
I would so do that.
Okay, we went through the entire prison. There are maybe four cells that are in pristine condition. The rest, the toilets are destroyed, the sinks are gone. Yeah.
There's no plumbing. Like
there's
to
no
the,
plumbing.
To the cells.
No, God, no. I mean, you would have to completely rehab the entire compound. And when people think about Alcatraz, it's just that if you ever see a picture of it, for those of you who have never been, it's that big three-story dormitory-looking like building on the top of the rock. That is the actual prison. The rest of the buildings that you see on the island were a church, a school.
You said it was a city where the guards lived.
The guards lived on the island. They didn't go back to the mainland, which was literally a 10-minute boat ride. They lived on the island, and they had schools for their kids. They had a church. They had barracks. It was incredible.
Because if people were coming back and forth every day, that's how you would escape. You would overcome somebody or slip into a truck. So they said for the security of everybody, mm-hmm. staff had to stay. But
it would be smart for them to not even have a ship docked there.
Right.
Yeah.
You drop them off, you take the ship back to shore.
And the water, and we were there in July. The water is freezing cold in July.
Even in July.
We went to the beach in San Francisco, or just south of San Francisco. I got into my calves.
And was like, nope.
And I just stood in the ocean up to my calves. There was no way I was getting in that water. It was that cold in July. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Hold up. Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, welcome back. A couple of stories just to bring to your attention. This is from Channel 5. Weeks before his recall election, Jackson County's top politician has announced his current term will be his final one in that role. County Executive Frank White releasing a statement today that, quote, after much prayer, reflection, and discussion with my family, I have decided that I do not plan to seek reelection as Jackson County Executive when my term ends next year. However, he did say that his decision is not final. Quote, while I do not plan to run again, I must be candid, there is a part of me that could reconsider. So so you're not running, but you might run.
I got to be honest. I think he suffers from a severe chronic case of the look at me's.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to California for a moment?
Yeah. And by the way, we're working to get, hopefully, I don't know if it'll be today, it might be tomorrow or sometime in the near future.
I'm obsessed.
According to the text line, someone is related or was related to a woman who as a child lived on Alcatraz.
She's a very bad child. No, I'm kidding. I didn't know the kids lived there.
Yeah, they had
in the prison, obviously.
They had barracks. There was a church. There was a mess hall.
And not prisoners' kids, workers' children.
Correct. The guards, I mean, it literally said that on one of the buildings, this was for the single guards, and then there was one for those who had families, barracks. And you were saying there would be no way, right, Scott, that the prisoners would ever get anywhere near the kids. No. The penitentiary at the very top, the three-story penitentiary, was self-contained.
Okay.
It had its own cafeteria. The outdoor area where the prisoners were allowed to go only for 2 hours, 2.5 hours on Saturdays and Sundays. They were not allowed outside
at all
Monday through Friday. Mm-mm. And the outdoor area where they could play, like, you know, baseball or sit in these what looked like little stands, it was self-contained inside the penitentiary.
Got it.
If you got sentenced to Alcatraz, you never left that building at the top of the island. Even though there were plenty of other buildings around, that was all support staff.
It was a small prison yard on the south side of the island, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep. And they could see, if you sat high enough in the bleachers, you could see over the wall at what you were missing out on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you didn't sit up on the bleachers on the outside portion during your 2.5 hours on Saturdays or Sundays, you never saw the outside, period. Okay. The windows were glazed over.
Got it.
Frosted, I guess is the best way to put it. There were windows inside the penitentiary that would allow sunlight in, but they were frosted.
So you couldn't see out.
Right.
Huh.
It's fascinating. You would love it.
Oh, I can't. It's been on my bucket list for as long as I can remember.
And if you go there thinking it's going to be clean, it is not.
Oh, God, no. Oh,
there
no.
There is bird poop. And
You have to remember, I did take the tour down in Jeff City at the old death chamber. And
that's right.
Those buildings are, it smells like bad choices.
So there are so many birds on Alcatraz that you are told very clearly, leave them alone.
Yeah.
But they poop everywhere. And the road leading up to, there's only two vehicles on the island. And one of them looks like it hasn't been driven in a long time, which is to say it's covered, literally covered in bird poop.
Oh my God.
And I'm serious. You couldn't see through the windshield. It was so covered in poop. But the road leading up to the penitentiary, and it's a walk. Do your calf exercises before you go. It is covered in bird poop.
You would think they wouldn't, like, they would have to clean it.
There is no cleaning.
Because of the toxicity with it.
There is no cleaning.
Nope.
That goes on at Alcatraz.
All right.
None.
All right, health officials in South Lake Tahoe says one of their residents has tested positive for the plague. According to El Dorado County health officials, an unidentified resident is under the care of a medical professional after testing positive, again, Scott, for the plague. They believe the person has been bitten by a flea, an infected flea, while camping in the Lake Tahoe area. Quoting here from the public health officials, plague is naturally present in many parts of California, including rather higher elevation. It's important that individuals take precautions for themselves and their pets when outdoors. The bacteria that causes the plague, Yersinia pestis, are most often transmitted by the bite of fleas that have acquired the bacteria from infected squirrels, chipmunks, and other wild rodents. Isn't that like the actual plague came from rats, didn't it? Fleas bit the rats
I believe you're right. But that was also like 600 years ago.
Well, but, okay.
From the text line, please do not let Dana or her boyfriend anywhere near the birds on Alcatraz.
It's a good call. There won't be
population
any left.
Population seems to keep going down.
It's dwindling.
Can you imagine?
And they're federally protected.
For a second, you go in because you're feeling tired. You got some joint pain. You think you're coming down with something. And the doctor looks at you and says, you have the plague.
Is it curable?
Well, I don't know. Didn't it wipe out bajillions of people way back when?
600 years ago when they didn't have modern medicine. I see you both are feverishly typing.
Yeah, can the plague kill you? Yes, it can be fatal if left untreated.
The plague can be treated with antibiotics and it'll be gone within 10 to 14 days.
Yeah, see, I think what happens is, you know, we all hear the stories of the plague and the... And how many, I think it killed a third of the European population. And we think, oh my word, this is.
Isn't that what Ring Around the Rosie's about? Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
You know, I think you're right. I think that's right.
Pocket full of posies.
But we think now, or people think, well, if you get the plague, I mean, that's unsurvivable. He's got the plague.
They think it was between 25 and 50 million people who died and or between 75 and 200 million.
So they have no idea.
Well, the record keeping was shoddy at best back then. I think we can.
So was modern medicine.
Yes, correct.
That's why so many died.
We put leeches on him. I don't know what to do.
We're going to bloodlet him?
God. They thought 50% of Europe's 14th century population succumbed to the plague.
Wow.
And they would put posies in their pocket.
Yes.
But, you know.
To ward it off.
But I'll tell you this, and I'm being serious, it's not unlike what, you know, the way we think about the plague now, because how many people really get it? It's a handful of people. And they do have medicine that can treat it. But it the way we think about it is kind of the way people thought about HIV
back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
I mean, because there were no treatments. And if you got HIV, it was all but over.
Posies were thought to keep the foul air away.
Oh,
well, why you kept posies in your
foul
pocket.
Air was the stench of death that came from the plague. Good God, can you imagine?
No.
I'd put that on Facebook. Like, how are you feeling today? I have the plague.
I would not put that on Facebook.
I mean, it was so bad. We have a sentence that we say all the time. I would avoid that
like
person or thing.
That's I hadn't even
like
thought about
the
that.
Plague.
Huh.
You could really go to your friends and be like, no, you should actually avoid me like the plague because I have it. I'd lean right into that.
Texas cannot. This is from the Associated Press. Texas cannot require public schools to display the Ten Commandments in every classroom,
no.
According to a judge today in a ruling against the state's new requirement, making it the third such state law to be blocked by a court.
Why do we keep clogging the court's time and resources with this ridiculousness?
I could say that 1,000 times a day.
Why? That case has been taken to court and taken to court and taken to court and taken to court. Mm-hmm. And every single time, all of the courts, even the really big one in D.C. says, you can't do that. Yet here we are.
I think it's a couple of things. It's some people are zealots.
It's posturing. That is what it is.
And some people are posturing.
It is a gigantic waste of resources to even flirt with putting any religion inside of a public school.
And I would remind you, and I don't need to remind you,
I'm speaking
to the general audience. Anything you put in there, you have to include the others if they come forward. If you put the Ten Commandments in, if somebody from the Satanic Temple wants to come in and put up their Ten Commandments, if they have one.
I think it's six.
Is it 666 commandments?
No.
I've long argued that they should teach theology in public school, not religion.
Sam, I absolutely agree.
I think that there would be a better understanding of your fellow man if you even had a modicum of information about what they go through because of their religion.
Not even theology, but just world religion.
Now, what ends up happening then, though, if you're, you know, in a place like Oklahoma, for example, which was the first to pass the Ten Commandments in the classroom law.
And this is why the Bible.
And in comes a Muslim teacher to teach theology. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
It would have to be a very, you'd have to be very, very good at your job and very confident in the material. Hmm. Or look, we're not saying this is better or this is worse, but let's look at the history of religion, the entire
history
of religion.
I think that would be good.
Oh, did you?
Catholic school, and what we learned was theology.
All of it.
We learned all of them.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. No, Sam, I don't know that I've ever done a deep dive on the lyrics to Don't Stand So Close to Me by the Police. Why?
Well, I just played it as the rejoin song in the previous segment, and I was appalled by what I was hearing.
What did one hear?
It's stand about, so close to me. Oh, don't stand so close to me.
That would be the song, but it's the rest of the song that's creepy. And it happens
it's about a hooker,
a relationship,
or a street worker,
with a schoolgirl and a teacher.
Oh, I thought it was a street girl where she said his car is warm and dry. I thought it was a sex worker.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly, knows what she wants to be. Inside him, there's longing. This girl's an open page, bookmarking. She's so close now, this girl is half his age.
Oh, God. Well, I knew, but...
Why don't you just play Christine 16 by Kiss?
Oh, I mean, I didn't know. I thought it was like an upbeat song.
Well, it's...
Well, Christine 16, which was a hit for Kiss.
All of those were upbeat and horrible if you listen to the lyrics.
Christine 16 has the lyric in the middle where Gene Simmons is just talking the lyrics, not singing. He's in a very, you know, deep tone.
Right.
And he says, when I saw you walking out of school that day.
Oh, good God.
That day, I knew. I just had to have you.
Well, look at the one of the biggest hits for Fleetwood Mac. Edge of 17.
Yeah. Was that, that was Stevie Nicks, though, wasn't it?
Stevie Nicks singing about Edge of 17. You know what that means? I don't know how old she was when she sang that song.
No.
Between Every Breath You Take and Don't Stand So Close to Me, is The Police the creepiest band to ever exist?
No, I've got one that'll beat it.
Oh, boy. Why did I start this?
Hang
We're
on.
Good.
No. Here's one. Winger 17.
Oh, it's terrible.
Let me just read you this.
I don't need you to read it to me. It's gross.
This was a hit. This was an MTV staple in the 80s. She said, this is the chorus, she said, I'm only 17. I'll show you love like you've never seen. She's only 17. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, that was on the radio in 1988.
And your mom had no idea you were singing that song.
Well, I was also 17. Wow. So to date a 17-year-old would have been fine.
So don't go back and read the lyrics of songs that you once thought were great songs, because you will then no longer think they are great songs.
Yes. Today is National Bacon Lovers Day.
It's National Radio Day. Happy National Radio Day.
Happy National Radio Day to you. 70% of bacon is eaten at breakfast. Mm. The U.S. consumes more bacon than any other country on the planet.
When is the other 30% eaten? Loaded baked potatoes?
Like on a burger.
Oh, okay.
Like a bacon cheeseburger or something. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin ate bacon on the moon. Or did they, Sam?
I got to hand it to you, Scott. You just, like, I just thought of something I've never thought of in my entire life. You never go at dinner and be like, and hey, can I get a side of bacon with that? Ever.
No.
That is a uniquely breakfast request.
Demi Lovato is 33 today. Robert Plant is 77.
I don't know. Did they eat bacon on the moon?
No, because it was a stage. They ate it in Hollywood on a screen set.
Just ask Kubrick.
Al Roker is 71. And Ray Wise is 78. We got to run. Bonus hour is next. Have a great night. On behalf of our producer today, finest man in these United States, Sam Seavey III, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and we will see you tomorrow. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.